Well, we've heard seven readings from the Bible, and there are many things we could say from the readings that we've heard. But I want to focus for a few minutes on three things from the last reading in Matthew chapter 2. Because Matthew chapter 2, in a way, crystallizes for us certain truths that bring together things that all the other readings have spoken of as well. The first is that God must reveal Jesus Christ to us. Because Matthew shows us that neither Herod, who was the king, the secular leader of the people, but not even the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders of the people, not even most of the people in Jerusalem themselves, none of them had a right understanding about the birth of this baby who was going to be born in Bethlehem. So Matthew is reminding us, even as we've heard readings from the Bible tonight, God must reveal to us who Jesus Christ is. It's striking that we are told that wise men came from the east to Jerusalem. And they were asking, where is the new king? Well, we are here to honor the new king. We are here to show homage to the new king. We are here to worship the new king. Where is the new king? And yet in Jerusalem, there were no preparations for a new king. Herod is not wanting a new king. He immediately asks his religious leaders, what do the scriptures say about a new king, about a Messiah, about a promised one? But even when he hears about where this child is to be born, Herod has got no intention really to go and worship this new king. Later on, we find he does want to go to Bethlehem, or rather he wants to make arrangements for other people to go to Bethlehem and kill any child of about that age. The religious leaders, they know where to look in the Old Testament scriptures to find out about the prophecy of the Messiah. So when Herod asks them, where is this Messiah? Where is this new king to be born? Where is he supposed to be born? They know right away where to look. They go to Micah chapter and verse. Oh, it's in Bethlehem, they say. That's where the ruler, that's where the king, that's where the Messiah is to be born. And so Matthew is telling us all this because he wants us to understand Christ's coming into the world has been planned down through the ages. Here's God's plan. All that the prophets had revealed about Jesus, those prophecies are coming true. God is telling us about a Savior, the Messiah, and prophecies that we've read tonight from different books of the Bible, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Haggai, Zechariah. But although the religious leaders know where to look, they don't really understand. They know about the prophecy of a Messiah being born in Bethlehem, but they're not prepared to go there and worship him. They're not worried about going to find out for themselves. So Herod, he's not going to go and look. And the religious leaders, they're not going to go and look. And even most of the people in Jerusalem. We read, like Herod, most of the people in Jerusalem were troubled when they heard about a new king, the Messiah. This could mean trouble. This could mean trouble with the Romans. This could mean strife. This could mean turmoil. This could mean people getting killed. This will disrupt our lives. Now, they'd heard the scriptures too. The rabbis had read to them the scriptures every Saturday. But they're not on their way now to Bethlehem to worship the newborn king. And so Matthew is telling us, if you're going to know and understand who Jesus is, you need to ask God to reveal to you something of the wonder. Because even if you've heard the Bible readings tonight, you may have thought to yourself, well, what are these readings from the Bible really about? God must reveal it to you. Because here, there are wise men, Gentiles, men who didn't have the scriptures, but they are seeking Jesus Christ. We don't know how God had given them the full revelation as to who Jesus is, but we do know God had shown them a star. It had compelled them to make their way to Israel, to Jerusalem, eventually to Bethlehem. God shines his light on these Gentiles because God reveals it to them. These most unlikely people. So is it possible for you to be here tonight, to hear readings from the Bible, even to be outwardly religious, and yet spiritually not to really understand? Herod at least asked the scribes and Pharisees, find out in the scriptures where Christ is to be born. The religious leaders knew about the prophecy, Bethlehem, but they don't really understand, because God must reveal it. And the great irony here, God reveals to Gentile wise men. No one in Jerusalem is going to Bethlehem to worship. Not the king, not the religious people, not all the ordinary people. But these Gentiles from a country far away, they're going. Why? Because God has revealed it to them. So it's a message for you and me. It's a challenge. We can hear readings from the Bible, and yet it's possible for the readings from the Bible not to really sink into mind and heart. We must ask God, Lord, help me. Give me understanding. It challenges us. Have you ever prayed, ask God to reveal to you who Jesus really is? Ask God to open your mind and eyes and heart to the truth of what the Bible says about who Jesus is and why he came into the world. So we need our spiritual eyes to be opened to see who Jesus Christ is, the Messiah, the Savior. That we may believe in him, trust in him, respond in worship and love and faith to him. Well, that's a great prayer to pray at Christmas time. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, reveal to me who Jesus really is and why he came into the world. Because God must reveal who Jesus Christ is to us. The second thing here is that God has appointed Jesus Christ as the only Savior. Here's a Savior, Matthew is telling us, not just for Israel, not just for the ethnic descendants of Abraham, a Savior for the world. So God brings Gentiles from a country far away. Again, isn't it ironic? Until the wise men come, Herod is totally unaware that a new king is to be born. Religious leaders are unaware that a new king is to be born. The people in Jerusalem are unaware that a new king is to be born. And then people, probably from what we know today as Iran, they come to worship him. And as we think about it, we may say it's not so different today than it was then. Where is the fastest growing church in the world tonight? Yeah, in Iran. If the trajectory continues as it is at present, Iran will become the first Muslim country to become a majority Christian country. Now, we don't know what God will do, but it is a remarkable thing that you have religious leaders in Iran in recent months and years who have held up on the TV in Iran a copy of the Bible and have said to people, don't read this dangerous book. And what do you think has happened? People in Iran who had no intention of reading the Bible have suddenly thought to themselves, these corrupt leaders, these leaders we can't trust, these leaders we have no confidence in, are telling us not to read this dangerous book. We want to find out, what does this dangerous book say? And so now, there is this interest, this stir. And God is shaking the nations. Haggai spoke about it, didn't he? God shakes nations, does unexpected things. What is Matthew telling us? He's telling us, Jesus is not just a savior for one nation, or not just for one continent, one part of the world. No, Jew and Greek, slave and free, male and female, every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation. Here's a savior for the world. And the wise men come. A picture of the nations streaming to Jesus Christ. They come to worship him, this newborn king, the savior of the world. Now, if we say tonight, Jesus is the only savior for this world, that message gets us into trouble. Our tolerant so-called society is very happy for Jesus to be your saviour, as long as you don't insist that Jesus is the only saviour. But we must understand, the Bible and the early Christians were not confused about that at all. You might say to me, oh, wasn't Matthew as enlightened like us? I mean, Matthew was not in a multicultural, pluralistic society like our society. And I say, well, really, read the Bible. The Roman world in Matthew's day was very like our world in its relativism, in its pluralism, in its multiculturalism. The Romans were very happy for you to have the king of the Jews as long as you put him alongside all the other kings and gods in the pantheon of all the kings and all the gods. You could worship your god as long as you worship their gods too and put Caesar first. But if you said, no, Jesus is my king, and Jesus is the only saviour, well, that could get you into a lot of trouble, just like it can tonight. But we should not be mistaken. The early Christians and the Bible, they were not confused about this at all. They were saying, Jesus is the only saviour there is. So Matthew shows us these people from the east, coming from far away to worship, because here's a saviour for the Gentiles, as well as for the Jews. The one saviour of the world, the only saviour. It's only by trusting him you can find forgiveness and peace and a new right relationship with God. So God appoints Jesus as the only saviour. And then the third thing here, the final thing, is that God discloses the mission of Jesus in the gifts the wise men bring to him. In a way, in the gifts of the wise men, there is a prophecy. God discloses the mission. Who is Jesus? The Bible's answer, he's the Son of God, the only Saviour for the world. Why did he come? Well, there's a clear mission here that Matthew describes for us. Matthew says Jesus was born according to the prophecies of the Bible. And then wise men come from another nation far away, showing us this worldwide mission. And they bring gifts that foretell something of the work that Jesus came to do, the mission of Jesus. The wise men, when they'd come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Why do they worship? They worship because of who Jesus is. Matthew is quite clear. He knows Matthew. Who should you worship? Only God. They worship him. And when they'd opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Those are kingly gifts. They're valuable gifts. This baby who, when he was first born, was laid in a feeding trough for animals with hay, is now receiving kingly gifts. It's a strange juxtaposition. But Matthew is telling us Jesus deserves royal honour. He's descended from King David. He's the one who'll sit on David's throne. His kingdom shall last forever. Tonight all the kingdoms of this world, they rise and they fall. It's the kingdom of God that remains and will last and is eternal. And here Matthew says Jesus receiving kingly honour from Gentiles. They present gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Christians have long reflected about these gifts of the wise men. I don't know if you've ever thought, why gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Well, 1,800 years ago, there was a man in Alexandria in Egypt named Origen, and he was reading the Bible, and he was teaching the Bible. And as he read the Bible and as he taught the Bible, he came to this verse and he said, gold as to a king, myrrh as to one who will die, and incense as to God. And what he's saying is that the birth of Jesus, yes, it fulfills the prophecies of the Old Testament. But these gifts of the wise men, they also bear witness to who Jesus is. A king. Doesn't look like it, but a king. The king of glory, veiled in flesh, the Godhead, see, we sang. hail the incarnate deity. Gold, as to a king. Myrrh, as one who will die. The one who will be born in a stable in Bethlehem is laid on the wood of a manger because as he grows into manhood, one day he will be laid on the wood of a cross. And bearing our sins, he'll be punished and he'll bear the condemnation for those sins himself that we may be delivered and set free. But he does that with all the power of God, incense as to God. So the gifts of the wise men are like prophecies. This one who is born is the prophet, priest, and king whom God has long promised to send. He's Jesus who will die for the sins of his people. So it's extraordinary. Christmas can be a time of great isolation as well as a time of great joy. In fact, even when families come together, for some, there is still deep down a sense of isolation. So when God comes on a rescue from the realms of glory, he doesn't send an angel to carry out his plan. How does God bring people like you and me back into a right relationship with himself? He comes himself in the person of his son. That's what he does in the gospel. He sends his son, his only son, who takes our flesh, our humanity. And in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, by trusting in him, Jesus brings people who trust in him back into a right relationship with God. What should your response be tonight? To trust, to believe. To believe that this one born of a virgin, laid in a manger, is the word of the Father, is the Son of God, is the Saviour of sinners, is a Saviour for you. And the God who knows our hearts, every inch of our lives and every inch of the heart. Matthew is saying, he sends a Saviour into the world, a Saviour for you. So accept, trust, believe that you may be able to say this Christmas time that you want to come to this Jesus and worship him and say, my God, my Saviour, my Lord, the one who rescues me, the one who puts me back into a right relationship with God, the one who takes my sins away and gives me a sure, certain hope of God, heaven and glory. And we're going to sing now our final song together. And our final song, I've run out of room on the notice board, but there is one more song, 197. It picks up the theme of the wise men, and they're coming to worship Jesus, as with gladness men of old did the guiding star behold, as with joy they hailed its light, leading onward, beaming bright. So, most gracious Lord, may we evermore be led to thee. 197, we'll stand to sing. This is our final carol together. Lord, we thank you that we can bring hallelujahs to the King of Glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for those tonight who hear, confess him, Lord, Savior, King. We pray, Lord, as the message of Christmas time, the gospel, goes out into this area and to the city of London and to our nation, that you will give to many people understanding of who Jesus really is, his mission, why he came into the world, what it means to truly respond to him in trust and faith. And, oh Lord, bless your word to each one of us tonight and through this Christmas time. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us and all God's people tonight and forevermore. Amen.